Oh, welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Chris Temple right now, founder and editor of the National Investor. And Chris, following up on news that broke kind of late last night, early this morning, seems like the U.S. and China are getting back to the negotiating table with a meeting in, I believe, October in the U.S. This is giving traders some optimism, or at least triggering some algorithm trades that are buying risk on assets and selling risk off assets. We have gold down about $30 right now. It's down to about $15.20. Silver's down about 79 cents, so back down below $19. And the U.S. equity markets, they are moving higher. The S&P up 40 points. Dow up over 400 points. NASDAQ also up over 130 points. Chris, let's just start with that news. Are you buying any optimism that is creeping into these trade talks right now?
Not in the least. And there's numerous reasons why that I've been talking about for many, many weeks. You have to believe, Corey, among other things, that either the U.S. or the China is going to unilaterally surrender in order to have a meaningful breakthrough come. Don't forget that the United States of America and the Soviet Union were in a Cold War for over 50 years. Following the end of the Second World War, over 40 years, I'm sorry, following the end of the Second World War. And many times during then, you had talks between the two parties. You had treaties. You had promises of treaties. Then you had broken treaties. Then you had new treaties and all the rest. It never changed the major underlying, quote, Cold War that was there. And you've still got this Pollyanna-like attitude on the part of traders who, number one, think that this is all about, you know, soybean sneakers and cell phones like I've quit before. And as I pointed out, going back to the 1st of May, let alone to the 1st of August, we are way past that. There are so many other moving parts and bigger ones in the grand geopolitical scheme of things than these tariffs and so forth that it you know, to anybody who is following this rationally, it defies logic to think that you can have so easily a resolution to what is going to be a very long-term new Cold War where the enemy this time of America is China. Will there be truces along the way? Yes, we saw one and it's already been broken. Maybe they'll come up with another one in the next several weeks, who knows? But the problem is, as you point out, that all the headline needed to say was talks resuming, and without anybody checking the facts, and frankly, the initial headlines were misleading, and I'll explain why. The computers kicked in, they bought stocks. When that helped to push the S&P 500 above that recent trading range top that I talked about even yesterday, that really started the avalanche, and it led to more selling than we would otherwise have seen in both treasuries and gold. Because again, not only do you have algorithms that are going to cause computers to buy stock futures if you have a positive trade headline, but going above that recent 2940 lid on the S&P 500 leads to others being triggered to get out of safe havens that have been bought recently.
Now, Chris, do you think that this sell-off in safe havens, it's stronger than the actual money that we are seeing flowing into kind of the broad averages? Do you think that this is simply overdone? Is this a short-term buying opportunity for those waiting for that so-called dip or natural pullback for the precious metals?
Oh, I think it will prove to be. I wouldn't do it yet today. You may still have to go down to 1500 and or 1505 for gold, for example. But I don't think anything has fundamentally changed. And today it makes me look like an idiot when you look at what the stock market is doing and the odd couple is doing. But these are counter trend rallies, all three of them, based again on a wing and a prayer. I'm not the only one on social media this morning who is regurgitating the old Lucy pulling a football away from Charlie Brown thing. We've heard numerous times that there's a deal in the works. Mnuchin told us, the Treasury Secretary, more than once, we're 90% there, and by golly gee, if we could only get something we could hang our head on, we would sign it immediately. That's all talk. And again, when both sides have dug in, as they have recently, and when you have China about to celebrate in less than a month its 70th birthday party, there's no way in hell that in the context of that, they are going to give in to the U.S. in any way, shape, or form. If anybody gives in, it would be President Trump, who's worried about his reelection. I think that that theme is overstated and too much is made of it. So, you know, what we have today, as far as everybody knows, Corey, is this. In the next couple or 3 weeks before September is over, we have some underlings meeting. Maybe this is what President Trump meant when he said that negotiations are going to restart at a different level. It's actually a lesser level than restarting on. Provided there is something to go on, then after those meetings in the next few weeks or so, in October, we're supposed to see the main negotiators get back at it. That would be Treasury Secretary Mnuchin, lead trade rep Bob Lighthizer, and on the Chinese side, their Vice Premier Liu He, who, if he had his own way, probably would be making a deal right now, but he's got to deal with the hardliners in his country. So I'm extraordinarily skeptical. I've been talking for many, many weeks about the lines in the sand that both parties have drawn. And unless somebody just makes a major and, for the moment at least, unthinkable unilateral concession to the other, you know, it's one thing to say that there's going to be talks at some level. It's another thing that they actually lead to something. And again, we've been down this road before, but at least for today, you know, the market wants to, you know, capitalize on this hokium and make some short-term punters some money.
Yeah, it really does. And you are absolutely right. We've heard these trade talks are starting, and you know what? We're going to try to get a deal talks before, and it hasn't led to anything. So, rightfully so, I think everybody should be skeptical when we hear this. But I have gotten a lot of questions saying, if we do get a trade deal, is that going to push back this so-called recession that should be coming in about a year to two time? I think we just need to further define that as even, well, depending on what kind of trade deal, and you know what, whether it's a full-on trade deal or maybe just a couple concessions here and there, what would it take to push back that recession that everybody, or at least a lot of people, are expecting?
Well, I sort of gave the same answer yesterday to a different question, but I'll repeat, Corey, there's two things that could forestall a recession and or a major global market collapse and deflation. Number one, it would be if there is something major that comes along that is meaningful and substantive and verifiable and all the rest, that means we are not going to have a global trade war and that that part of the negative story for the global economy is removed. That would certainly buy us some time. But don't forget, and I've said this many, many times, that especially for the U.S., but even to some extent for the rest of the world, when you look at the percentage of global trade right now that has been subjected to tariffs, it's not much more than a rounding error when you look at total world GDP. So it's going to be more of a psychological than an actual fundamental benefit, but certainly it would help. Don't get me wrong. It would help and it would postpone a lot of bad things. But the bigger issue, as I've said many times, is the fact that due to the nature of the fractional reserve system, we have an entire world choking on over a decade now worth of pulling consumption from the future, overcapacity, malinvestment, and all the rest. That is not going to change and go away, even if there's a good resolution to the trade war. That is still there. The only way to postpone that is if you see truly massive monetary easing coming from the Fed. But because of this headline this morning, and both China and the U.S. for the respective purposes trying to levitate the U.S. stock market on the one hand and the Chinese yuan on the other, they've just taken away the reason for the Fed to do anything more than a couple of, you know, slow, methodical rate cuts.
All right, Chris, let's also look at one other area that reacted at least initially to this trade talk news, and that's the U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar did open the day quite significantly down, but it has been climbing back. What do you think the reaction in the dollar should be when we do get, even though it might not turn out to be long-term optimistic trade talks, but we do get some sort of benefit on trade? Does the dollar moving down make sense to you?
Well, it makes sense for the same reason that treasury prices moving down and yields moving up makes sense today. And precious metals getting hammered makes sense today. And that is, you've got traders across the board reversing their more bearish risk off attitudes of the recent past. So, you know, the dollar, part of the reason it has rallied recently is stress in the global economy, more so stress in global markets. And again, that is not going away. That news did not change. The fact that trade talks are on did not bring with it a headline that the Bank of Jinzhou is, forget what we said, folks, we're going to make those interest payments to external dollar-denominated paper holders. That didn't change, and neither did any of the rest of the stresses in global markets. But again, traders believe what they want to believe, at least for today. And so along with all the other reversals of recent trends, that, you know, some of the risk premium came out of the dollar, but the trend is still upward and it will remain so.
And I think that's the biggest takeaway right here, is that even though we're getting a reversal today, it doesn't mean that these longer term trends have changed. But you know what? Maybe we will see a little bit of that bullishness come off of these risk off assets, at least for a short period of time. But then again, who knows? Tomorrow, even later today, we could get some tweet that derails all of this. Overall, though, Chris, wrap us up with how you would manage your portfolio in a day like this when you are getting at least a short term reversal.
If you believe, as I do, in the base case being that the global economy is continuing to slow, the only question is the different speeds at which each respective economy is slowing, that central banks will have to continue to push on a string to try and keep things from falling off a cliff. And if you also believe, as I do, that there is more hopium than any substance in these allegedly restarting talks, and that I don't think they're going to be any more productive than anything else all this year, then you take these opportunities with the stock market rallying to round up your position shorting the market. You take this opportunity to on weakness to add a little bit more to the odd couple, gold and treasuries.
All right, Chris, we're going to wrap it up there. Interesting day to kick it off, but you know what? This news, it swings these markets day to day. It's important to take note of the longer term trends. And hey, with that trading strategy, this very well could be offering some investors access or the ability to get into the markets if they did miss some of that move. Question is just how much are, let's say, the precious metals going to pull back, but we could very well get a very short term reversal here again. But who knows? It's just another day where trade talks dominate, not even trade talks, rumors dominate the market moves. Chris, good chatting with you. Thanks for taking some time today.